Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Some people's cell phone service is coming back. A few people that we've heard from. I'm Tim Wildman, Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard. Joining us in studios now is Steve Piano Man. No, Paisley.
Yeah, I think Billy Joel's got that one wrapped up.
Jordahl, Steve Jordahl. You got a different kind of shirt on today. You got a
It's a music shirt.
A music shirt.
Yeah.
It's got a piano on one side. What's it got on the other side?
It's got a staff and a treble clef sign and some notes.
Are those music notes?
They are. It's a 16th note, an 8th note.
I know what music notes are from my 2.5 years of cello.
There you go.
I know why he's wearing that shirt today.
Why is that?
He's going to Nashville.
I am going to Nashville this afternoon.
Yeah. So at Music City.
Oh, Music City.
Yeah.
Nice.
He wants to fit in.
Are you gonna? What are you gonna be? You got a band? Are you gonna be playing it? What are you doing? What are you doing in Nashville?
My wife is a speech pathologist, and she's taking some continuing education courses at Vanderbilt. So we're going up, and I'm gonna be visiting my dad. And
Ray, you been to Nashville much? Have you?
Yeah, but not in the last 10 years or so. Great city.
It is.
Some of our team's up there right now at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. That's where Ed is.
Yeah. Big night tonight there.
So he says.
So he says.
I mean, you never know about Ed. He says he's somewhere else, and next thing you know, find him in the casino.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it happens.
It happens.
It happens.
How did I end up here?
Well, there's no windows, Ed. You need to go home now. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But Ed and Walker and some of our bunch have been up there at the NRB in Nashville. But so you got to go downtown. That's where all the action is, isn't it? All the
I tell you,
all the good restaurants and everything.
I don't know what's the street that goes downtown.
Broadway.
Broadway.
It is amazing. It's. I love going up and down Broadway. There's a lot of bars, a lot of stuff at night you probably don't want to want to avoid. But there's music in every window. There's all kinds of food. It's just great. In the Ryman Auditorium, the old place that used to be the Grand Ole Opry.
Grand Ole Opry.
One end.
Yeah.
And they've got a B.B. King's Blues Bar. I think it's back open on the other end.
But you left out the most important thing.
Which is?
It's where the Nashville Predators play.
Yeah, right
that's
in between
where
the middle. In the middle.
The NHL team right,
right
downtown,
in the middle.
Right?
Come on.
Okay. Yeah, so.
That is a pretty cool shirt, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So any updates, Steve, that you know of regarding the national outages of cell phones?
I've just been hearing what Fred is talking about. I think it's slowly coming back. What I have seen is some people are saying that they're pinning this on a solar flare. But I don't know. And I saw a report that it's not just AT&T phones, although my phone's been working fine the whole time. So
than AT&T, but AT&T is the most affected. Verizon, T-Mobile.
I don't know what
it's just as strange. We don't know why yet. Some people saying it's software. Other people saying it's solar.
A solar flare would.
But
would
a solar flare, why would that just hit the U.S.?
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Because God hates the U.S.
They hacked the sun somehow.
We
don't know how they did it, but they did it.
How did the Chinese do it?
How did they do it?
They hacked the sun.
You know, I brought a story in a couple of weeks ago about people, the climate alarmists, were going to go put a big, huge parasol out in space to block the sun. About 2% of the sun's supposed to.
Have you seen these people?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
they glue themselves to streets, so I'm not sure how they're going to launch.
Yeah, they're not going to.
We have some questions.
They're not going to be able to pull that one off.
We do indeed.
I don't think if that's up to the climate activists who are going after the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Thank you for joining us here on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to check us out, we're at AFR.net. We live audio stream there, AFR.net, AFR.net. We have our live video streaming service. You can go here to watch the show if you want to, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We also have a Facebook page where we post the stories that we talk about. It's easy and convenient for us to do that. We've been doing that for a long, long time. Facebook, just type in Today's Issues. We also have a YouTube. We're back on YouTube. Brent, what's our YouTube?
They can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues, AFA Streaming, and it'll pull up.
Okay. So check that out. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
Well, guess what? It's 2024. We got an election coming up in November, and all of a sudden, President Joe Biden is very concerned about the border. And he's going to do some things. He's got some executive orders up his sleeve that is going to solve the problem. And so vote for him because that's what he's, you know, good at.
We had some executive orders from the previous president that were working fine, but Biden pulled them all day one.
Come on, Tim.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, similar stuff.
He's going to put Trump's. Is he going to put President Trump's?
Some of them are similar to President Trump's. You'll never hear them say that. Trump was the evil man that they had to undo. But here's what they're planning. A new string of executive orders.
Does Biden know this? Does he know he's planning this?
He might be being told right now. Executive actions and federal regulations. Remember yesterday we said that sometimes they change laws and affect your life through regulations?
Yeah.
This is kind of one of them. So they're discussing using the section of the Immigration and Nationality Act to bar immigrants from seeking asylum in between ports of entry. Meaning, if you want asylum, you got to go to the gate and the port of entry. Now, that's every illegal entry to the United States. They say they're going to stop, but they're going to, of course, they're going to put a trigger in this. You have to allow 500 illegals to cross before they set this trigger up.
Why?
They really don't want to stop it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And the second thing that they're talking about is make it harder for migrants to pass the initial screening for asylum, to raise the credible fear standard.
Now, what did you say about asylum? Did I say anything about asylum? Because that's the problem.
Yeah. They are going to make it harder for migrants to pass their initial screening for asylum. In other words, you have to come here and say, I'm requesting asylum.
I think you need to suspend it. You need to absolutely suspend it for 1 year till we get a handle on this. That's the problem. That's one of the main problems is these folks come here illegally, crossing our southern border, and then they claim asylum. And then by law, you're supposed to say, well, I don't know if it's by law or not, but nevertheless, they turn them loose into the interior of the country, telling them to come back for their asylum hearing down the road, sometimes many years later.
Yeah.
Well, they're not coming back.
Right.
Okay. So, and also these folks are, asylum is a good thing. It's a good hearted, putting in common man's language, but it's a way for America to be welcoming to people who are being persecuted for their religious reasons, or they're a part of somewhere where they're doing ethnic cleansing. We have asylum for political prisoners.
Yeah.
For people to, so we have, this is separate from the normal immigration process, okay?
That's correct.
So all these folks from around the world are pleading. They're either walking in and nobody's asking them anything and they're on to their destination, or they're pleading asylum and turn loose into the interior of the country.
Yeah. Under Joe Biden, all they have to do is utter the word asylum.
Right.
All right. That's all they have to do. Here's what's happening. Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, under oath has said over the last 2 years, the border is secure. Everybody knows that. But now what's happening is, the vast majority of America now understands that's not true. Our border is not secure. There have been developments just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. The number of Chinese nationals coming into this country has exploded since October. I heard a story the other day. This is one of these Chinese nationals. He says they flew from Beijing to Turkey, from Turkey to Tijuana. They are coming up to the border now, well-dressed, like they stayed in a nice hotel in Tijuana, well-dressed.
Got the backpacks.
Got a suitcase.
Oh, suitcase.
Nice suitcase.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a nice hotel in Tijuana. I hate to break it to you.
They just walk in through a hole in the border, say asylum, and they're in.
Yeah. Yeah, and asylum. The asylum is also, you're supposed to claim asylum in the first country you get to.
Yeah.
That's not.
Where you're not under threat anymore.
Right. So.
Go to the embassy.
Mexico is just like a connecting airport.
Yeah.
For the world, basically, yeah. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Mexico's not helping us at all.
Nope.
So.
The bottom line is Joe Biden thinks he has to do something about the border.
Because of political reasons. In other words, this issue, more than any other issue, perhaps you could argue inflation, but is set to hurt the Democrats in November, big time. And so they're trying to do something publicly, window dressing, to try to thwart those,
Also, what has happened, of course, we know that tens of thousands of these illegals have arrived in New York, have arrived in Chicago,
right.
And the locals,
right.
Who normally vote Democrat,
right.
Are saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You guys are putting these guys up in hotels,
yeah.
You're feeding them, they're getting free medical care.
No wonder they still come. You've incentivized it.
Yes.
Right?
But New York City was talking about giving them $10,000 each in a debit card.
Okay. My head's about to come off my shoulders.
Okay.
Can you
want to go on?
Yeah, next story.
All right. So we've talked somewhat sometimes about people who change their gender right before they go into prison so they can go into men who want to go into the women's prison. Sometimes they change their gender to go to the women's prison. Sometimes they're really genuinely sexually confused. But a lot of states have started making accommodations for them, saying if you identify as a woman, we'll put you in a woman's prison.
What man wouldn't want to do that?
I mean,
huh?
Right? Well, especially if you're the type that commits a lot of crimes. So the Independent Women's Forum has put together a movie. It's actually a series that's going to start coming out at the end of the month. But I've got part of the trailer that they put out.
This is a growing problem. Seriously, I was cracking a joke there, but this is a serious issue.
Yeah.
This is a growing problem.
Several states where men
are saying they're convicted of a crime, and then they all of a sudden they identify as a woman, so they can go to the women's prison.
The movie is called Cruel and Unusual Punishment, The Male Takeover of Female Prisons, and I want you to listen to a little bit of the trailer, cut six.
California has passed legislation allowing transgender inmates in the state's correctional facilities to be assigned housing based on their gender identity.
We were very nervous, angry. We weren't given a voice.
No one asked us how we felt about this. No one did.
In September, California Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 132 into law.
We're getting the predators, the sexual predators, people who have been incarcerated for rape, men who have been incarcerated for crimes against women.
California now joins Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York City, and Massachusetts in recognizing inmates' gender identity.
They were like kids in a candy store because they knew they were going from a men's prison to a female's prison. And if you're purposely putting a predator amongst prey, so to say, I don't got to tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What documentary was that from?
It's called The Cruel and Unusual Punishment, The Male Takeover of Female Prisons.
Where do they do? Is this going on across the country, or where is that happening?
They just listed in that trailer where this is happening across California, no surprise. New York, no surprise. Basically, the list was Democrat-run areas.
Blue states.
This is where it's happening. There's got to be lawsuits.
I wish we could separate easily, Ray. You still there, Ray?
I'm right here. You know, you think about this. It's beyond outrageous. You asked me in the last segment, you know, how do you describe this society? This is what moral darkness is. This is what happens. This is not just immoral to do this and foolish and dangerous and idiotic. This is moral insanity.
Yeah.
This is an inversion.
But doesn't Romans 1 in the Bible say that at some point God will turn you over to a reprobate mind?
Well, that's what he's done. That's people say God is going to judge America. Oh no, my friends! If you want to see a nation under God's judgment, look at America today. This story Steve, this this little clip you play, the impossible 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Right. 10 but years ago, it probably wouldn't have been happening.
Yeah. So, no, this is Romans 1. God gives you over to a reprobate, darkened mind, and you have insanity like this.
All right. You got anything good in that stack over there? Good news to share, Steve?
Well, I don't know if it's good news for the Secret Service, but boy, President Biden is having a hard time controlling his dog.
Yeah, talk about the the dog story there.
There was a dog. President Biden likes German Shepherds. He had one for a long time that just passed away. Major was his name. A champ actually was
Major his name. Was his name,
So they've sent now Major and now Commander. They've sent them away from the White House. Okay, Commander is involved in at least 24 incidents of biting Secret Service agents and staff. The Secret Service had to change their protocols around this dog.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know how he got out, sir. We'll try to find him.
The Bidens were apologizing.
That would be what I would tell the president. Yeah,
we're all over it, sir. Yeah. We're searching.
I don't know what happened. He jumped the fence, I guess.
Yeah, right?
He's not here any longer.
Somebody jumped the hedge.
Right.
We don't know.
So, okay. He had a dog, Joe Biden. When he came into the White House, do you know the history here?
Yeah, when he came into the White House.
There was a German Shepherd named.
He had a German Shepherd named Champ, who had been at Biden's side since he was vice president, died at the age of 13. Then he had 3-year-old Major, who was sent away after he bit two people. And now,
Major,
Champ, 24.
And Major had major behavioral problems.
Discipline problems. Right? Let me listen. This is what they're saying. At the time, the White House sources made the assertion that Commander targets members of the president's security details because of their unfriendly expressions.
Well, we're not paying those. We're not paying those men and women to
smile,
right?
Hey,
if this is a Chihuahua, maybe this is a funny little cute story,
right?
A German Shepherd will take half your leg off.
They can. They're police dogs.
Yeah, I mean that's
serious.
That's not funny. You get attacked by a German Shepherd. So what happened to the dog now?
They've sent it off to live with family in Delaware.
What, he doesn't love his own family now? He's turning his dog on his own
family. That sounds like something from my high school years when a girl got pregnant. They sent her, off.
She
went to live with her aunt in Memphis.
Right.
Wow.
Can you imagine for a moment, what news agency is putting this story out?
This is from the Daily Mail.
All right. Can you imagine if this was Donald Trump still in the White House and it was his dog doing this?
Right.
Networks would be all over this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That Trump is displaying his behavior, his callous behavior for authority.
Right.
Because he's got this dog
who's
biting these dear Secret Service agents.
Right.
Nothing anywhere else. It is amazing how they keep Joe Biden in the closet when it comes to these kinds of stories.
He's the media, the mainstream media.
The mainstream media. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's going on here. And the fact that this is dog number 3.
Yeah. Well, the first one, they don't accuse of biting.
Okay. Isn't
number
that nice?
Number 2 and 3. Yeah.
Yeah, he was too old.
Right.
He was too old. But now you got 2 German Shepherds. Joe Biden shouldn't be allowed any dogs in that White House from now on.
Sounds like to me they're just German Shepherds just roaming the ground.
Yeah, biting who they choose.
Huh?
Biting who they choose.
Biting who they choose. All right, Steve, next. Got any other stories there? Because we got 7 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't have a piano for you to play.
No, that's right. You wouldn't want, you could hear me sing, but you don't want to hear me play the piano. So let's talk about who's on the short list for vice president if Trump gets the nomination. He's sent out a list, and one candidate on that list says, no, I'm not interested, which I can understand. I'm kind of having a hard time understanding why anybody would be interested, but Ron DeSantis on Wednesday, said he would not consider being Donald Trump's running mate if he was asked, because Donald Trump put out a list, and on his list was DeSantis, Tulsi Gabbard, Tim Scott, Byron Donalds, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Kristi Noem.
Okay. So what happened there was, is Governor DeSantis of Florida was on a private call to a lot of his supporters. Mm-hmm. That was the story. And so this him what he said in response to a question, would you be interested in being Donald Trump's running mate? That's what he was responding to. It was a private call where you got to know, probably get out in the public, so it wasn't. But he said, Governor DeSantis said, quote, I'm not doing that, end quote.
Basically channeling President Johnson, who says, if asked, I will not serve. I'm not going to run for election, and if asked, I will not serve.
Right. It was President Trump who brought up DeSantis's name a couple days ago,
and these other candidates.
It's completely unbelievable to me that there's any universe in which Ron DeSantis, after all that has happened, would agree to be Mr. Trump's running mate.
I agree. There's multiple reasons why I don't think that would be a possibility. And Governor DeSantis yesterday said, quote, I'm not doing that, end of quote. I think I said yesterday, you got two polar personalities right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about polar personalities, but way of behaving and governing that are incompatible, seems to me. You have Trump. Trump is out there, motor mouth.
Yeah.
And DeSantis is, motor mouth for good and bad.
Yeah.
And DeSantis is more disciplined.
Yeah.
And more reserved. So I don't know if they would.
I do find it difficult that Trump did include Tulsi Gabbard in that.
A lifelong Democrat.
Lifelong Democrat from Hawaii who has been very critical now of her former party.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because back 2-3 weeks ago, she was asked if she would accept. And she says, I'm willing to do anything to serve my country.
Yeah. She's a former congresswoman from Hawaii who is a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
But she's been converted to being a conservative in the last 2 years. Okay, go ahead.
With the exception of DeSantis, what do all of these people have in common? Gabbard, Scott, Donalds, Ramaswamy, and Noam.
What do they have in common?
They're all either women, black, or members of a diversity class. There's people that are talking about Donald Trump using identity politics to choose his vice president.
Yeah, I don't know about it. I don't believe that.
Well, look at the list.
Yeah. Well, I know, but
That might be why.
But Tulsi
Gabbard gets the list.
Yeah. Tell me when I can. So I don't want to. I don't want to talk over you here.
Go ahead.
Because I don't do that.
No.
I don't talk over people.
No.
Right.
Tag, you're it.
Okay. So he had Pence as his VP for 4 years. Okay. So he was former governor of Indiana, but white male. So. I don't think Trump's into diversity hires myself.
It's his second term.
I think he's going to pick a female.
Yeah.
As a running mate.
Why?
I just think he's a good businessman. He understands where the weakness is. The weakness is right now suburban women.
You think?
Yeah. He needs somebody to talk to suburban women.
Okay. Well, what about Bird Brain?
Not happening.
That's not happening.
Not happening.
No.
No.
I'll bet on DeSantis before Nikki Haley.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I'm not calling her Bird Brain, Nikki Haley. That's what Donald Trump calls her, Bird Brain. And my reference there is, I don't think that's a way to win over women's votes.
No.
Is by referring to Nikki Haley as a Bird Brain. But, hey, in the world of politics, as they say, stranger things have happened, right?
Yeah.
But so we don't know. It probably won't be DeSantis. Well, he says it won't be DeSantis, and it won't be Nikki Haley. So, question remains:
yeah.
Who will be the VP's choice of Donald Trump? We'll find out probably in the next few days. I would guess maybe. We'll see you tomorrow. Trivia Friday tomorrow. Take care, everybody.